chapter 7. John chapter 7. Let's get some background here. Look at John chapter 7, verse 32. John chapter 7, verse 32. It says, "The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him." So the background is, hey, people starting to flock to Jesus. They're saying, man, never a man did such things, and they're just amazed his miracles, the way he speaks. So the Pharisees heard this, and they sent officers to take Jesus, right? Now look at verse number 44. "And some of them would have taken him," this is speaking of the very officers that they sent, "but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have you not brought him? The officers answered, never man spake like this man. Then answered them the Pharisees, are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed." So they sent the officers. The officers didn't dare take Jesus. They come back. They're the heads of the Pharisees saying, hey, where is he? Why haven't you brought him? They said, man, we've never seen anything like this. Never heard anybody like this before. And you see how they now attacking these people? Have you believed also? Then they said, have any of the Pharisees or rulers that you know believed on Jesus? These people that believe, what do they say? Are cursed. That's what they thought. These people that were turning to Jesus. Now, they're already specifying that, hey, none of our ranks have believed in Jesus. And we're right. That's what they're saying. We're right. None of us believed on Jesus. All those other people who believed are cursed. Now, what does that cursed mean? Well, wrong, bad, right? I mean, somebody say you're cursed, it's not a good thing, right? That was the mentality that they had, right? They were right. They could tell you what was right. They also knew what was wrong, and they were the judge of that. Again, one of the major issues with the Pharisees was that very point. But we also began to see last week how that we, not only as people, but more importantly as Christians, can have that very same type of prejudicial, judgmental, and superior type of attitude, right? We can. There's no, we're honest with ourselves. We can do the very same thing. Again, forget us just as people in general. As Christians, we can do the very same thing as the Pharisees. Now, we've already discussed how we in Hawaii, more than any other place, maybe, can clearly see and understand the cultural impacts that can be experienced when various people groups collide. We can easily see it in our foods, and we did. We can easily see it in our dress and appearance, and we did. And we can easily see how that we've either adopted or adapted in various aspects from living amongst these various culture groups in this place we call home, right? We've looked at that clearly. Hawaii has been called the melting pot of the Pacific, right? For good reason. You've heard that before, right? They refer to Hawaii as the melting pot of the Pacific. In fact, listen to this, in November of 1945, Life magazine declared Hawaii the world's, remember, November of 1945, Life magazine. You guys remember Life? Yeah. Is they still got Life magazine? Gone already, yeah? I think so. I think they died out. But Life magazine declared Hawaii this: the world's most successful experiment in mixed breeding. A sociologist's dream of interracial cultures. That was in 1945. Wow. And they did a whole spread with pictures. And I went online and I saw it. There's just the multiracial as they referred, mixed breeding, and what became of it. And they were shocked, really, right? Shocked that a place like this exists. We weren't even a state yet, right? But that's how the world viewed Hawaii. And I'm sure it was amazing to people back then, and really in many aspects still is today. But to us who live here, that's just our life, right? That's all that we've known, right? That's what we see every day. We live and experience the cultural diversity and all that it brings every day, right? Now, we touched upon some of this, but let's regress a little. If I was to say pocho, right, what would that mean, right? Right? We use that word pocho, right? It means Portuguese, right? I mean, that's what we would call Portuguese. Yo, pocho, come over here. If we said paque, right, be Chinese. If we said book, what is that? Filipino, right? I mean, we've heard it, we've used it. If we said yobo, right, Korean. Heard that before? Yobo, right? You used to say Korean. Of course, we know, if we said Haoli, we mean Caucasian, right? If we say Popolo, right, we mean Anwar, right? And if we said Sole, we would know Samoan, right? I mean, all of this comes from the culture that we live in. Now, with that, we know that it hasn't always been perfect, right? We have had our own ups and downs here in Hawaii. A lot of those terms now are politically incorrect, right? I was watching a Andy Bumatai clip, and I thought it was hilarious. We may watch it one day, but... is talking about how locals know that there's two types of haoles, right? There's haole, and then there's local haole, right? the locals recognize that. Yet, and although it's the same word, it's not like all haoles are despised, right? There's a certain attitude, there's a certain way that they project themselves, and it doesn't have to be white people, it can be anybody that would be despised, but others, locals don't have a problem with it. Yet, the term haole has become offensive in many ways. Yeah? Just like pake, right? I remember hearing one phrase, and I never knew growing up. I used to hear it all the time. I used to use it in school when you borrow money from your friend and they don't give you. Say, "Oh, that Jew bugger," right? You would say, "I never knew it meant Jewish." We used to call him Jew bugger. I thought it was J-U. You know what I mean? That's how we used to refer to it. But you know, certainly could be offensive, right? But again. Despite our up and down, we have mixed and blended our cultures and ethnicities over the past 200 years or so. Again, I love that song, Mr. Sancho Lee, especially the ending, right? You know, Mr. Sancho Lee got plenty what? Lychee. Then you know, Mr. Maximo Concepcion get plenty fighting chicken. Mr. Kazu Tanaka get plenty camera supply or electronic equipment, right? And then Mr. Kamaka Vivaole get plenty, not too much or nothing, right? That's how the song goes. But the last verse of that song, really, it says, "One thing I will notice about this place, all us guys, we tease the other race." And then it ends. "It's amazing we can live in the same place." Yeah? That's so true, right? I mean, if you've been to any local comedian act, they're going to pound on all the races, right? I mean, that's the comedy, right? That's where it's at, whether it's talking about Portuguese or Samoans or Hawaiians or Pakes. I mean, that's what they're going to talk about. And we find it funny, right? Even if it's talking about our race, we know it's in humor. We find it funny. There's a lot of stereotypes in it that are true. But again, we find it funny. Yeah. And as the song says, it's amazing that we can live in the same place. Right? But the cultural impact is not only limited to food or dress and appearance. We also can see it in the language. I mean, one's language is a big part of one's culture. And we can see the impact on language in several different ways here in Hawaii alone. Right? Maybe not as prevalent now, but many of you, Uncle Bobby, I'm sure, Marlo, aunties, Norman, Susie, I'm sure, Leah, I'm sure many of you can recall a time when you would regularly hear several languages spoke fluently here in Hawaii and here on Kauai, right? I mean, I growing up, I had friends that in their home, they only spoke Japanese. I remember that. I remember going to sleep over on a friend's house. They only talk Japanese. I don't know what they're saying. Friend comes to school, he talk to speak English, but at home they would make them talk Japanese. Same thing with Filipino. And a lot of Filipinos. Even Hawaiian. I can remember families that spoke fluent Hawaiian. In fact, our neighbors growing up was the Kauai Halau Ohana. In fact, one of my best friends, they lived right down the road, Harry Kauai Halau, but they spoke Hawaiian. Yeah. The most prevalent growing up was Filipino, though, right? We all would agree that. You still can see that happening today in many areas, right? And I think that's great. Yeah. I mean, I think, and there's a lot of places in our society that frown upon that. There's a lot of places in our society that don't like to see that. Yeah. They think, hey, you're living in America, you should speak. They'll say American, right? Right? I mean, you've heard that, right? You've heard that, but a lot of times one's culture is tied to the language. Right? When one loses its language, a part of that culture dies with it. And then from these blending of languages that we've experienced here in Hawaii, growing up here, right? You can hear a whole bunch, right? From that blending is how we got our Pidgin English. Now, most of us can speak Pidgin, but we can turn it off when we need to speak proper English, right? And it all depends who you're talking with, right? And it's not like you got to think about turning it off or on, right? I mean, if I'm talking to Reno, the Pidgin just going to flow naturally, right? If I'm talking to guys I work with, the Pidgin just turns off and you try to speak more proper English. But if you cannot naturally speak Pidgin English, don't try to speak Pidgin English, okay? Pidgin English is not something that you can fake, right? There's nothing worse to a local than someone trying to talk pigeon. Right? I mean, you guys agree, right? I mean, even Billy's been in Hawaii now for what, babe, 12 years, 11 years, right? Well, she's been coming to Hawaii that long, living here for 10 years, going on 11 years, okay? And she can pick out when someone's trying to talk or fake pigeon. It's really easy, right? Did you know that Hawaiian pidgin has been declared an official language? Did you know that? They do. We were talking to Pastor. We want to use that. Some of us locals, we want to get that. We want that brought into the discussion of what version to use. But yeah, I did find a good clip on that I want you guys to see, because I think it'll better than I could highlight what we're talking about here. Ready?
Stay go to your house. All the babies are like really the kind. What, bro? You like go cow cow? You hear that kind? Like snap, yeah. And other things. Hey, maintain cool head, bro. And know that if you speak good English and pidgin, bro, you bilingual. Run around brag about being bilingual. Remind yourself, for you hear, you like hear more like pigeon news, more shame, false crack that like button. More shame, voila out in the comments. And let me know, you get my back.
No. I mean, if you live here, that's funny, right? Because you know exactly what he's talking about, right? I mean, so much resonates with us, right? We talked about those trying to fake pigeon. And we also know that not all people speak the same pigeon, right? Some people speak worse, well, better pigeon, I guess, than others, right? I mean, I get one friend. His wife looks as howly as could be. I mean, look like just got off the plane. She opened her mouth. I get a hard time understanding her pigeon. I mean, that West Side pigeon is worse than normal pigeon, or better than normal pigeon, right? But it's funny to us. Again, we can laugh about it. It's real to us. But in all seriousness, people's language is important. I can remember growing up and being corrected by my mom and dad. Stop speaking pigeon. And like I said, in a place as a society, a lot of people frown on people speaking other languages. I've heard comments in my travels that people say a lot of times. In my travels, a lot of it has to do with Mexicans. They don't like them speaking Mexican. Yeah. And I think, it's prevalent elsewhere. But a person's language is very important and has a direct connection to their culture. Each language holds a history and gives identity to that individual's roots, right, of where they came from. Did you know that worldwide, 4 languages die every 2 months? Of the 6,000 languages known, only 3,000 will be left by the end of the 21st century. I mean, that blows me away. Yeah. Think about what it must have been like for the Jewish people. They weren't necessarily just emerged by people groups living together. They were ruled over, right? So when they were ruled by the Babylonians or ruled over by the Greeks, just think how that must have been. They were forced to learn those languages many times. In fact, specifically with the Greek. When we talk about translations, and I'm not going to get into because I'd be the first to admit I'm no expert on Bible translations, but a lot of this discussion surrounds how they translated and from which scrolls, right, that they used to translate. You got some, of course, in the Old Testament in Hebrew. You got where it was copied into Greek or Aramaic, right? A lot of it talks about people's languages. I mean, how it must have been growing up as a Jew in that period of time, right? I mean, just imagine, just think for a bit how it would be if we were ruled over and you had to learn a language, right? I mean, most of us, other than pigeon, right, we're not bilingual. And a lot of us would love to be. A lot of us would love to know other languages, right? But we don't. Why? Because it's hard, right? I mean, it takes time. You got to practice. You're going to have to, I mean, they say it's really difficult, especially some of these languages, right? Really difficult. I grew up in a home where I had, my dad was bilingual. He could speak, but he wasn't raised. He taught himself. He wanted to know how to speak Spanish. And he could speak fluently. Okay. That is not the norm anymore, right? I mean, how many people you know who are truly bilingual? I mean, usually if it's bilingual people that you know, it's because they already spoke another language and then they learned English, right? That's usually the people that we come in. Very few you meet who started with English and learned another language. And the people who truly are bilingual, it's because they grew up in a home where they spoke the other language, right? I mean, that's, we talked about the Filipinos earlier, right? A lot of them, their parents only spoke Filipino in home, so they learned Filipino, and then they went to school, and that's how they learned English when they were amongst their friends. So they grew up, they can speak both English and Filipino. That's why a lot of Filipino can speak fluent Filipino, and they can speak English as well. And that's usually how it works. But again, people's languages are disappearing. That connection to the culture disappears. When you look at the Pharisees, remember, we talked about the two things that you got to always keep in mind when you look at the Pharisees, right? They were sticklers for the law, right? Sticklers for the law. The law was written in what? Hebrew, right? No doubt they were sticklers for Hebrew. That's how they work. Can you see it within themselves now? If you didn't speak Hebrew, they were better than you, or you weren't as good as them, because Hebrew to them was their language. Right? We don't necessarily see that in Scripture per se, but just by what we know of the Pharisees, you could see that of them, right? I mean, when they can say that those people are cursed because they don't believe like us, you can see them having that type of attitude, right? That, hey, Hebrew is the best, right? You got to speak Hebrew. It's the one language. We're the chosen people, right? That's the best language. But again, the familiarity of what we see a lot of times in our own culture is unmistakable. We speak English. A lot of people say we speak American, right? And we live in America. You should speak American, right? Well, again, if people have that type of view, that's fine. But is it wrong if people don't feel that way, right? Is it wrong if they speak, they're just as American as any one of us, but they speak another language? We can speak two languages. It's not... Again, it's not right or wrong, right? It's just a preference, okay? But the Pharisees, again, tried to make issues that were preferences, right, into issues that were right or wrong. In our Christian circles, I think, and we're going to get more into this as we move forward, but the terms that you would resonate, I guess, for us would be that, is it a commandment of God or is it a conviction of God? Right? There's a big difference, right? What God commands or says do or don't do, there's no judgment in that, right? There's no discussion. There's no, well... Right? This is God, it's a commandment. Right? God said it. Now, we do know just through Scripture that some commandments were just given for the Jewish people. Some commandments were just given for a certain time period. Right? But, I mean, what God says is black is black. What God says is white is white. There's no gray. We all can agree on that. But then there's this matter of conviction. you have a conviction on certain things. There's no Bible verse on it, right? You follow your convictions. You think you're right, and that's good, right? But what about when someone doesn't share the same conviction? What happens in our Christian circles a lot of times is we get back to that right or wrong, good or bad, right? Not on commandments, but on our convictions. We're going to spend a lot of time eventually there, and that's where we're going to get to. But I want you to start thinking about that. Commandments and convictions. One, definitely you can distinguish good, bad, right, or wrong because God said it. No doubt about it. The other side on your convictions is more personal. And you're going to start to notice that a lot of the things that we can pass judgment on in our Christian circles as being what we term fundamental Christians are not on commandments at all. They're all on convictions. And we're going to see how, again, the Pharisees, that was one of the major issues that they had. Casting judgment of right, wrong, good, or bad on convictions and not commandments. Now, we're going to continue next week looking at language because as I like to relate, I don't want to include you, but what I like to relate is how so much that you see amongst people in Bible times, you can see amongst people today. I mean, technology may have changed, the way we do things may have changed, but people are people. Sin nature is sin nature, right? I mean, you see it clearly in the Bible times, and you can see it today. And one of the areas as we continue with this language, looking at language itself, is how language and how people's convictions can have an impact when applied wrongfully, even to something like language. And I think you see that maybe more than any place else, certainly for myself, is in what happened to the Hawaiian people. We'll take a look at that next week, but I think you'll see a strong correlation there. But thank you for paying attention. Our time has ended, and I hope you guys can continue with us in the study as we move forward. Let's dismiss in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity again to just talk some story and look into your word, Father, and get a real closer look and understanding of the Pharisees, Lord, and that what issues they possessed, which in many cases are issues that we all possess. And I pray you might help us to see that, help us to identify it, not in others, but identify it in ourselves so that we can make the correction, O Lord, and be the type of believer that you want us to be. Again, we look forward to a great service this morning. I ask you to be with the pastor, give him great boldness and wisdom and knowledge and discernment as he brings your word. We thank you and love you in Jesus' name. Amen. You are